The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts. The UFC Vegas 44 preview show starts now.
I mean, that introduction, you just can't beat it, everybody. As whoever voiced that intro just said, this is the UFC Vegas 44 preview show live on the MMAfighting.com YouTube channel. Thank you for joining us. What a main event we have tomorrow. Rob Font versus Jose Aldo, a big one at 135 pounds. Co-main event is great. A lot of this card is actually really, really good. This one's flying under the radar a little bit, especially with UFC 269 coming up next Saturday. But thank you for joining us. Leave your thoughts, your comments, your questions in here. We'll get to them later on in the program. I am Mike Heck. Joining us on the ones and twos, baddest stash in MMA media, E. Casey Lydon. There he is.
Hello to you as well. Killer. That was the first take. I didn't even rehearse that. Just went with it. Just flowed.
That was tremendous.
Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic. And our special guest this week actually will be competing next Saturday at UFC 269. He is in the bantamweight division. He's got a fun one coming up against Tony Kelly next Saturday. He is in Florida, born and raised in New England. Still got the accent, and the heart is still with New England, as a matter of fact. The Zohan joins us, Randy Costa. Randy, how are you, my friend?
Mike Heck, what's going on, man? I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. And for those watching right now, if you missed Between the Links yesterday, bear with me. I am not feeling tremendous. So yesterday, a couple days ago, was horrendous. Yesterday was slightly less horrendous. Today started off way less horrendous, but is somehow teetered back into more horrendous. So we're gonna battle through this thing. Got a fighter on. Can't be a wuss here. We got to do the damn thing. So main event, Randy, we'll start with you here. This is a good one. Rob Font, a guy that you are quite familiar with, being from New England. I'm sure you've shared a mat or two with him over your journey into this mixed martial arts world. Taking on Jose Aldo, this is one of those fights where you're just like, damn, it's so good. There's so many things you can say about it. But you being a guy in this division, you having the familiarity with Font, being a student of the game and just watching what Jose Aldo has done over the years, just your initial thoughts on the matchup itself.
Man, this is a really fun fight. And I think the key to victory is going to be whoever can disrupt the rhythm of the other fighter. So if Aldo can disrupt Font's jab rhythm or pattern, then Aldo can get away with it. If Font can disrupt Aldo's kicking and body shot pattern, then I think that Font can get away with it. But it's going to be whoever can disrupt the other person's rhythm, I think, is the key to victory.
Casey, what do you think? I mean, this is high-level stuff. You being a guy that's preparing for his first fight in his own right, mm-hmm. being able to watch a guy like Rob Font take on a guy like Jose Aldo, this got to scratch you right where you itch, is it not?
Oh, first of all, the men's 135 division is just, I've said it so many times, but I know everyone loves the lightweights, but to me, the 135 division is the best division in the world, without a doubt. It's just from top to bottom. I think top one through, shoot, I would say one through 30, I think are just amazing athletes, our guest included, and being in the just, I just there's just so much good talent at 135, and the fact that we have Font and Aldo, I think actually Randy kind of got it. It's to me, it's jab versus body shots, and it's gonna be can Rob Font control Aldo and keep him outside and just kind of I almost Cody Garbrandt this fight again, you know, just 25 minutes and just jab, and not that sounds kind of boring, but. Just really just use boxing and just staying in position, staying balanced and using better technique and I think just beating an incredibly durable Jose Aldo after all these years. We kind of keep waiting for Jose Aldo to get old and just kind of fall apart at some point in the cage. But somehow at 35, he just seems to be just – I'm not even gonna say less dominant. I think the 35 division is just so great. It's just Jose Aldo at 35 is just still as good and dangerous as he was at 45, and this is awesome. And it's gonna be a big night. We're gonna learn a lot of things about Rob Font. I think we know who Jose Aldo is, but I think we're gonna see how truly good Rob Font is or may be.
Right now, according to our friends at DraftKings, Rob Font is the favorite at minus 140. The comeback on Jose Aldo, plus 120. I think that's lined perfectly right now, for being honest. But the thing that kind of sticks out in this fight, Randy, is Jose Aldo is no stranger to five-round fights. Rob Font, this is his second consecutive five-round fight, and Rob did pretty good. His gas tank held up pretty well against Cody Garbrandt. He looked good. He was getting stronger as the fight goes on. Do you think the five rounds favors one fighter over the other, or do you not think it really matters?
I think in this fight, it's going to favor Font a little bit more than it's going to favor Aldo. I think that because if you look at how his fights typically go, if you could make a stock chart out of how his fights go over rounds, I think you have a gradual increase of his output as the fight goes and his efficiency. And I think that Aldo is very good with the five rounds fights, and he's had five round fights. That's all very true, but it's very different when you have someone constantly fainting at you, because it's going to be very hard for Aldo to find a read on him and to kind of know when he can let his shots fly if it's the fourth round and Font is still just as active with the feints as he was in round one. I think the feints and like I said in the beginning, I think that disrupting the rhythm of the opponent is going to be the game changer, and Font's feints will 100% disrupt the rhythm of Aldo. I do think that five rounds in this fight in particular for Aldo favors Font.
Randy, Casey, go ahead. Talking about feints, can you just kind of break down how important feints are to fighting? And what particular fight did you kind of see that in Rob Font? Like, I think a lot of us talk about the jab, but the feints are you seem to be really focused on.
Yeah, man. It's really because everybody knows that Font has this really good jab, right? So if Font goes out there and he's only throwing two jabs for every single time, like he throws his shoulder, like you're going to get a hard read and you're going to start to notice of what kind of reactions you're going to kind of get from Aldo. If every time I throw my left shoulder as a feint, I get a right hand reaction out of Aldo, you know you're going to have an opening on that same side. And that's going to be really hard because Aldo's going to find himself in a position where he's not really going to be sure on if he can bite, if he has a stay reserved, or he's going to have to play the guessing game when if a jab is actually going to fire off. And that's going to give the advantage to Font for sure. If you can keep Aldo guessing, obviously, that's going to be disrupting the rhythm. I think that that's going to be a huge thing. You saw it against Font versus Ricky Simon. Ricky Simon has really, really good wrestling, and that was almost nullified just on the jab and the jab sequence stuff. I don't think that you're going to see that heavy of a discrepancy with this fight, but I definitely think that the feints are going to be a huge puzzle for Aldo to solve.
When you look at this fight, Casey, we talked about this on Between the Links. They're almost fighting for just to keep the spot that they're in right now, because the top of this division is a mess with Sterling still being injured, Jan the interim champion, Dillashaw still injured, Sandhagen, now you got Font, now you got Aldo, and there's not really a lot of movement right now. So, yeah, the winner could just be the first phone call if something falls through. Rob Font got that phone call the last time. He just couldn't take the fight with Petr Yan. It went to Corey Sandhagen. But what is at stake? Like, who needs this one more, in your opinion? Does Font need this one more? Can he bounce back faster? Or does Aldo need this one more?
Oh, man. The what's at stake thing is kind of a – I think that's what's holding this fight back. And it's not the fighter's fault, obviously. Because like, if this fight was for a true – like, oh, whoever wins this fight will be fighting for the championship fight – it's just not happening because of course, what you mentioned before, because of injuries and things like that. So it's just unfortunate because this fight rules. The timing is really good for this fight. It just sucks because whoever wins kind of just, they just kind of maybe move right in front of each other. They don't actually move closer to the belt. So in terms of just stakes for the division, it kind of sucks because, you know, and we love high stakes, you know, it's just not, it's not there for a championship fight. Ooh, sorry, championship fight. But who's it more important for? Oh man, I think this fight is super important for both of these guys. To be honest, like if I, I kind of want to say one thing, but then I immediately go the other way in my mind. Like I think for Font, he just needs. I think Font, this is his second main event, and to beat a guy like Aldo, and if he can do it dominantly, I think his next fight will be for number one contender. I think if Font loses, though, it just moves him too far back. I think Aldo is just right. I think we know good Aldo is. I think if he loses a competitive fight, he's still there. Like didn't Aldo get a title fight off a loss?
Yeah, right? Marais.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
A fight, so, not a lot of people thought he lost, so.
Well, you know what? I had him for Marais either way. It wasn't like a robbery. It wasn't like Aldo got – no, we don't consider it like a robbery. But that's why I think if Aldo still loses – the UFC, and they love him so much, rightfully so, that I think if he loses a competitive decision, he's still right there. As long as he doesn't get, you know, blown away. For Font, though, I do think, now that I'm kind of speaking it out loud, I do think the fight is more important for Font being the main event spot. And you just, you know, don't want to lose the main event. You have a lot more eyes on you. So I would definitely think this fight's more important for Rob Font.
It is a very good fight. And now it is time to put our money where our mouths are. Casey, what do you got? Jose Aldo, Rob Font, who takes this one tomorrow to close the show?
Before we started, in my mind, I was going, you know what? I'm gonna go with the young whippersnapper, Rob Font. But then I looked at their ages; they're like only like less than a year apart. Like Jose Aldo's only like 6 months older than them or something. So I was like, obviously, the you know, tread on the tires a lot heavier with Aldo. But I always go with the vets. I always stick to vets because I think it's the safer pick. But you know what? I'm going Rob Font. I think Rob Font can do it, and I'm hoping it's going to be for entertainment wise. I hope it's going to be a really close competitive fight. But I think Randy kind of broke it down. It's like those jab and feints, and I think he will disrupt Aldo enough that Aldo would never really get to take over, and like he usually does in late rounds of those. Just killer body shot kick combos he does. Leg kick combos he does.
Are you with Font as well, Randy?
I'm going with Font. Late finish, like round four, round five, or decision. Obviously, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if I'm wrong, but I do think that I think Font's just going to keep proving people wrong. No one gave him a chance against Marlon. No one gave him a chance against Cody. I think he's starting to get the respect he deserves, and I am on the Font bandwagon. I think he's gonna be a big problem. And like I said, Font late fight finish or decision.
Yeah, it's such a tough fight to call. This is like the definition of a 50-50 fight. But I think the extra two rounds favors Font as well. So I think if Font can win the first round, I think we'll have a bet. Like the second round, we'll tell maybe a different story. But I think if Font can win the first round, he wins the fight. Like he can lose 2 and 3, but we'll probably still win 4 and 5. But the way they prepare, those cartel dudes, is just unbelievable. They really have like the Patriots mentality. Font was telling me when I talked to him that like Tyson Chartier puts this like how football players get like game plan books. Like they have a full on game plan book for the fighter. So they sit there and they read this game plan over and over again. And when Font's driving, he has his fiance in the car just reading him the game plan. Like they know as much about Jose Aldo over these last 8-9 weeks than probably anybody has ever fought him. And that's – the preparation is unbelievable. So I go Font. I think it's a very close fight. I think he wins the decision. If it comes down to the fifth, I'll take Rob Font over Jose Aldo in that discussion. So – and AK Lee, if you're watching right now, don't you dare. Don't you dare throw out the New England bias BS because I ain't buying it. I would have said this if Rob Font lived in somewhere South Dakota. Wouldn't have mattered. The style makes the win for Rob Font. So I don't want to hear any New England bias BS coming out of anybody's mouth right now. So that's the main event. That's a great fight. A lot of people are looking at the co-main event as the best fight on this card between Brad Riddell and Rafael Fiziev. Right now, Rafael Fiziev, a minus 125 favorite. Brad Riddell, plus 105. Casey, good Lord. These are two guys that know each other very well, very friendly with each other. They knew they'd have to fight at some point. They were hoping it wouldn't happen this soon. It would be maybe for a number one contender spot, maybe for the belt. But this fight is awesome. Your thoughts on this co-main event between Brad Riddell and Rafael Fiziev, two guys who are very, very familiar with each other.
I absolutely hate this fight. Only because I do not want them to beat each other up because they're so good. I think Danny Rubenstein kind of talked about this. I think he's one of their managers. And he was talking about these guys, they're too good. They should be fighting for a number one contender or like, you know, when they're both top 10. What, are they ranked in the top 10 yet?
No, I think I think they're both in the top 15.
I think it's only because of they just haven't had the right opponent yet and they just haven't had enough fights. I don't think anyone disagrees that they are top 10 potential. But just a pure entertainment standpoint, God, this fight rules so much. They're just super exciting fighters. I mean, they bring that violence. They just bring that violence, and it's going to be a crazy fight. And to me, this is like a poor man's version of, and I say that in a positive way, of Gaethje Chandler to me. It's just like, you just know it will rule, and there's no way this fight's going to suck. So, and you get it for free on a co-main event for a fight night. So, I hope it's the best fight ever, and I hope it's a 30-30 draw. I don't want anyone to lose.
I hope it's the best fight ever, and it's a 30-30 draw. I don't know if you could do better than that, Randy, but
I'm super excited. I'm just super excited for this fight. Yeah.
What do you think about this one, Randy?
Yeah, man, this fight's a lot of fun. Fiziev's a Sanford guy, obviously. And it's probably a little bit of bias, but I do like Fiziev in this fight. I think that he has like that tricky factor, the fast twitch, high kicks that are kind of hard and deceiving to come from. You know, he's throwing these head kicks off breaks and stuff like that. That's kind of unorthodox, I guess, for especially the 55 division, especially how fast he's throwing it. I think Riddell's very good. He probably punches a little bit harder, you know, sits a little bit, has maybe a little bit better boxing. But I think Fiziev's footwork and just that the triggers, the fast twitch, as soon as something touches, is just firing off. I don't know if we're going to see a knockout. I think we're definitely going to see a crazy fight. But I do think that Fiziev's going to win. I think that Fiziev's too tricky and has too much. Although the thing that's kind of concerning to me is you kind of saw him slow down in that third round against Bobby Green.
Yeah.
Which is really not a good thing to go into against the fight from someone who's one of those New Zealand, those city kickboxing guys. Those guys are a bunch of workhorses. Fiziev obviously has to be careful if he doesn't catch him in the first two rounds, but I do think that Fiziev's going to win.
Yeah, do you think Riddell, because of what happened in the Bobby Green fight, his best bet is to really push Fiziev, like get him on his back foot, put him against the fence maybe for a little while, try to just wear on him a little bit, slow him down, get him deep. Fiziev is a tricky guy, and once he escapes and gets out of those situations, you never know what's coming at you. But would it be worth it at least for Riddell to try to take the path to least resistance and try to slow down such a dynamic striker like Fiziev?
Well, yeah, I mean, you would assume so, right? But another thing that you kind of have to bring into question is that they're very familiar with each other. They're not strangers. They trained together for a while. So, you know, Riddell could have that in his head, like, oh, I can get Fiziev against the cage, but maybe Fiziev's so good at getting off the cage, or maybe Fiziev's so good at counter or anti-wrestling or shit, maybe even Fiziev has some, you know, wrestling tricks up his sleeve that we just don't know about. The only person that's going to have that answer, or the only two people that are going to have those answers, are Fiziev and Riddell. looking at based on how their fights have been, yeah, you would assume that maybe Riddell would want to take his head and stick it in Fiziev's chest and then just put him against the cage for, you know, 30-second increments or something like that. But who knows how easy of a task it is. They felt each other before. They've sparred together before. They've trained together before. It's exciting, dude. I think it makes the fight even more exciting because both of them know kind of at least their old tricks or the other things that they used to be good at. And people change, people evolve, but you kind of always have like your bread and butter, right? So, I mean, they're familiar in some aspect.
Yeah. Jason, do you think there's a very good chance like both guys might have a certain game plan for the other and then they actually get in the cage and they lock it and then they just look at each other and just like,
they might just both pull guard, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right. They just might say, F it, let's just get in there and just throw bombs at each other and see what happens. Like, I think that's a very incredible. Strong possibility.
I think after the first round, after they go back to their corners, you know, they're all beat up, like, let's just have it. I don't know. You kind of forget about the game plan. They're just going, let's just do this. Let's have fun out there. And they're just going to like all those spinning crazy techniques we do in the gym. I'm going to try it out tonight. You know, just so I'm just excited. Randy, do you think we think about Riddell's wrestling? Do you know? Do you think that could be a deciding factor? Because I worry about I think the wrestling could slow down Fiziev. And just in terms of making him tired, and I do think Riddell over in the third round historically is probably a stronger fighter than Fiziev. Do you think that could have a big effect in the fight, or possible?
Absolutely, but it's also gonna be partially like Riddell's probably not gonna start shooting takedowns and start pinning up against the cage if within that first 3 minutes he doesn't track down Fiziev's footwork. Because Fiziev's footwork is so smooth, man. He does so well at changing angles and things like that. So Riddell's certainly not going to be shooting for takedowns or attempting to close the distance too much if he can't even, track him down. He's going to be shooting on air, essentially. If there are any takedowns, it's certainly not going to come within the first 2 minutes. Fiziev's going to be way too fresh. Fiziev has good anti-wrestling, man. And people sleep on it, but he's training with the Sanford guys. He's training with Greg Jones. He's wrestling every day. It's just hard to try to shoot takedowns on someone that has one such good footwork and has such fast switch muscle fibers where you can blast those high kicks up so fast. One small mistake shooting a takedown at the wrong time, telegraph even a tiny bit is gonna get you're gonna get your head kicked. You saw Fiziev do the Matrix, dude. Fiziev is really good. He sees everything. He really can't make too many mistakes, and I think that Riddell is probably very aware of that.
So we got caught. We got Randy's pick. He's picking Fiziev, and he admitted a little bit of bias there. Gacy, who you got?
I already told you, 30-30 draw, fight of the year. No, I'm actually gonna pick. I'm picking Riddell in a very close decision. Two rounds to one. I think he drops round one, but I think he takes rounds two and three. I think Riddell's just kind of I don't want to say cardio because this is like beyond cardio. It's just like heart and I think the wrestling will be able to take a decision. But I'm super excited about this fight, and I do not disagree at all with what Mr. Costa said.
Ugh, this is so close. Yeah, I know. Such a good fight. I'll lean Fiziev. I think it could be very similar to the Green fight where he does enough to win the first two rounds, but then Riddell kind of realizes that he might be down two and he really pushes him in the third and comes close to pushing, but doesn't. So
you do have to consider that Bobby Green and Riddell are two very different fighters. You can get away with more like lax and going out there and being a little bit more loose with a guy like Bobby Green, who you probably can assume that he's not going to shoot many takedowns. Riddell, you have to go in there with a completely different mindset. Yeah, dude, I don't fucking know.
I start kind of picturing the fight in my head, and then it kind of goes like 20 different ways. Like, I don't know.
Yes, that is exactly what I think is going to happen. Then we got Clay Guida and Leo Santos. We got Jamahal Hill and Jimmy Crute. What else we got? Let me go back here.
Brandon Allen, Chris Curtis. That's a good one, man.
That's a good one. Alex Morono, Mickey Gall. We did lose a fight on this card. We lost Azamat Mirzakhanov and Jared Vandera. Vandera not medically cleared to compete, so we're down to 14 fights. And as of right now, the first fight, Lewis Smolka is the first fight on this card. That just tells you how deep this one is versus Vince Morales. William Knight against Alonzo Menafield. Someone's going to sleep in that one more than likely. Some good stuff.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Let's go, let's see what the peeps are saying. What are the peeps saying?
Let's go to the peeps. Hold on one moment.
Yeah, Brandon Allen and Chris Cater should be a lot of fun.
Oops, sorry, make that a little bigger.
Riddell seems adamant about fighting Gillespie next if he wins on Saturday. My question is, who should Fazeev face next?
Oh, we're already doing.
We're already matchmaking. I don't know. I mean, someone. Let me look at the actual. We won't go to the actual rankings. The rankings that matter more than anybody else's. The MMA fighting rankings. We'll go to the. Just for argument's sake, go to the UFC's. Fazeev's at 14, Riddell is at 12.
I think either fighter could face.
Yeah, either fighter could face Gillespie. Fights Gillespie.
Yeah, I think either one's Gillespie. I think, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? Is there any?
Sorry.
Man, the fight hasn't happened yet, but I like the loser of Fazeev and Riddell to fight the winner of Armin Sakri, how do you say his name? And Joel Alvarez.
Yeah.
I think the loser fight and the winner of that makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure who the winner should fight, but I think that fight makes some sense.
I agree. It's a good call right there.
I would like the winner. I would like them to face a kind of an established vet. I like the Zarukian fight, Armin Zarukian, but much like Font is facing, he needs like an Aldo. He needs kind of that vet. I think whoever wins this fight needs to face that established name, and it's most likely probably someone coming off a loss. So a name's escaping me right now, but I think just some sort of name, some former title contender, or something like that.
Tony Ferguson.
Is Tony Ferguson still fighting? I have no. Ferguson's in everyone's like. You can put Tony Ferguson versus a broken down truck. You'd be like, I'll watch that.
And it's still going to be the craziest fight of all time.
It'd be awesome. Yeah. And Tony Ferguson would still hurt himself and still finish the fight.
RDA?
Yeah, something like that. A name like that.
Maybe RDA? Because it's going to be tough. Like eventually you're going to have to give one of these guys a matchup like that, because that's just so log jammed up the top with Poirier and Gaethje and Oliveira and Dariush and Makhachev and Chandler. I mean, maybe Chandler could be a guy. And then there's Ferguson. No, Hooker might be going to 45.
I
don't think Chandler and Fazeev or Chandler and Riddell is, I don't even think that's a conversation. I think that Chandler rightfully probably deserves some sort of money fight, whether that be Ferguson, whether that be Diaz, whether that be McGregor. I don't think you can give Chandler a guy who I don't think you can say that you think that Fazeev or Riddell winner should get a veteran type guy and then add Chandler into that same conversation. I don't think you can do that. But
no, I agree with you. Yeah. I was just like, that's just the logjam up the top. Like, I don't think he's getting any of those guys. But once you get down to like maybe RDA, who's at 6 right now, and RDA has been trying to get in there, and all the fights he wants, he can't get, or something happens that he doesn't make it, or his opponent doesn't make it. So
yeah, I think RDA is definitely an option.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Or if Hooker stays at 55 and Fazeev wins, that would make sense. Obviously, Riddell and Hooker wouldn't fight. I don't know. So if Hooker,
that would be a fun fight too.
Yeah, it would be fun. So, that's one of those fights. No, you have to come to the gym and watch.
Yeah, that would be a fun fight.
All right.
Good question though. 55 is fun.
Another one from Mr. Digman.
Is it safe to say that the Menefield Knight fight is the most muscular matchup in UFC light heavyweight history? Yeah, I'd say so. two just jacked dudes. I mean, William Knight like walked me through like a couple days of his regiment, like not even recorded, and I was just like, how do you even walk right now? I don't know how you do this. He's such a monster. So yeah, I think it's safe to say that.
The first round is just them doing deadlifts or something. We just watched them work out. Like, man,
push up contest.
Yeah, just push ups. You know, just doing curls. I'll watch it. Whatever. Got to think outside the box. UFC, come on.
Yeah, that's an interesting fight. I don't think it gets out of the first round.
Oh, it's going three rounds now.
No, don't do that. Don't do that to me, Casey.
Okay, hold on. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this fight.
Crute versus Hill. Who you got in Method of Victory? This is a good one. This is a good fight. This one's tough to call. What do you think, Randy? Jimmy Crute or Jamal Hill? Jamal Hill, of course, coming off that tough loss. Crute's coming off the loss to Anthony Smith. They both lost in, like, kind of bizarre ways.
Yeah.
Due to injuries and limb snapping, if you will. Who comes back with the victory tomorrow and how?
Dude, I like Jamal Hill. I do. I think he's like deceivingly good. Like he's a tall guy. He punches hard. He has good vision. He sees things pretty good. I mean, he'll be the first to admit that he has to work on his jiu-jitsu, right? But I mean, that's fine. But I don't know, man. I think Jamal Hill. I think he's so punchy. I think he can see that. I think he just sees openings really, really well. And I think he's gonna win by knockout or TKO.
Casey, what do you think? Do you want betting lines?
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, go. What are the betting lines on that?
Jimmy Crute -170, Jamal Hill +150. I think Jamal Hill, like Randy said, Jamal Hill is a very live dog right now.
Oh yeah, and that's pretty close. I mean, I'm more on the Crute side, but I like Jamal Hill. I understand when it was a Paul Craig that snapped his arm. Is that correct? Yeah. It's Paul Craig. Jamal Hill, I think, made a tactical error. Giving Paul Craig even a chance to jumping in his guard and grabbing that arm. I think, unfortunately he made that error in the cage rather than in the gym. But, I don't put too much into that loss. I think, we kind of remember cause it was so just that violent and stuff. And even the Crute loss, I didn't take too much from it too with, Anthony Smith. I know it was a legitimate win, but you know, it was just one of those calf kicks that dulled his leg, and you know, he just one of those weird things. But it's an incredibly good fight. I love both fighters, but Jimmy Crute's got that awesome mullet going right now, and he looks like a hockey player, and that's pretty sweet. And that should probably get him a round already. So yeah, that's new MMA scoring criteria.
From a betting perspective, this is Jamal Hill or pass, in my opinion. So. Why not? I'll take a shot at the dog on this one. I all things considered, both guys standing, it's 50-50. Crute's got power, Jamal's got power. If you're forced to put a wager on this one, you take the dog money. So Jamal Hill, I think it's close enough to merit a dog shot. So there you go.
And he has a 5-inch reach advantage.
Yeah,
which is a huge deal.
Yeah, I've been next to Jimmy Crute. Jimmy Crute, sure. Like, he doesn't look big, but he's wide.
It's like, deceiving.
Yeah, he's deceiving. Yeah, he's just like he's big boned.
Yeah, yeah. His shape is he's got like a very unique build, I guess.
Yeah, like
he's like lanky and not disrespectful, but like skinny fat. Like he has his build is just very unique, and he makes it work really, really well.
It works. All right.
Thank you, Scott. What else we got?
Oh, here we go. Another one from our friend John.
Question for Randy Costa. What is your dream bantamweight fight? This dream fight could include you and every bantamweight on the roster, past and present.
Ah, fuck. Dude, just because he was my favorite fighter, dude, Faber, for sure. Just because I would love to compete against him. It would just be because that was like the guy when I first got into martial art or MMA and following the sport and WBC and all that stuff. It was him and Cowboy. So that would be pretty cool. That would be like a OG type guy for sure. All of them, dude. I just want all fun fights. I want all fights that are exciting. I don't want any boring fights. Whoever's going to be a fun fight, that's my dream fight.
I like that answer.
It's a good answer right there. Good answer. Oh, by the way, we just confirmed it, but a report from ESPN. Main event, February 5th, middleweights, Jack Hermansson, Sean Strickland.
So ooh, there you go. That's a good fight.
It's a good fight.
That's a good fight. I think Sean Strickland wins that.
Yeah, very good chance. Strickland will be in the corner of one Chris Curtis tomorrow, so that should be fun against Brennan Allen. Oh,
that'll be really fun, especially since it's against Brennan Allen. Wow, I wonder if he's mic'd up. There's no way they'll
mic'd up. Right? They better not mic him up.
He's just gonna sit. He's gonna sit in the booth, just push over DC. Like, oh, I'll just do this.
Fuck you, Brandon.
That'd be great.
We'll see what happens. I asked Chris about that, and he's like, I think Brennan Allen's so weird for thinking there's like an actual rivalry here because Sean doesn't even like talk about him or think about him. But you know, once that fight starts, Brennan's gonna say something.
They'll be chirping the whole time.
They will be. So that's there you go. Tune in. What else we got?
Does Strickland not have beef? Does he have beef with everyone? I don't think there's anyone like he's just one of those guys.
I don't think he has beef with anyone. I think everybody has beef with him.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Either way. That's a very unique Sean Strickland statement. That's very true.
Terrence Leverett, if we got a Bellator question. If Sergio and Kyoji were still in the UFC, or do you think they would and Kyoji were still in the UFC, how do you think they would do against tomorrow's main eventers? So Sergio and Font already fought, and Font beat them pretty convincingly. So
very convincingly.
Yeah, that was not a close fight at all. But how would Sergio's obviously an improved version, but I still think Font, I don't think that fight would go any differently if they fought again, because Font's obviously improved as well. So
Kyoji Horiguchi is probably the one. Yeah. Not to make excuses for Sergio, but you see what Sergio said about that fight, how basically he went to the hospital right before that fight with a broken rib. So he was just like, it happens, but it was like the first time he talked about it. But I agree. Font's obviously, just adding some backstory.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Sergio's chance against Aldo. I don't think Sergio's a bad fighter. I think he's a good fighter. I thought that fight with Archuleta was tremendous. He looked awesome in that fight. But Kyoji versus Font, Kyoji versus Jose Aldo would be interesting. Do you think Kyoji could be either of those two guys? Or Sergio?
I think Kyoji can be probably most of the guys in the UFC bantamweight division. Kyoji is good, man. Kyoji's really, really good, and I don't think he gets maybe the credit that he deserves from like the U.S. fan base because of maybe how the UFC stuff went. But man, that dude's good. He's like he's one of the best, and he's continually shown that he's good, man. He's good.
I'd love to see what Kyoji would do in the UFC bantamweight division.
Yeah,
sure, man. He's like that. Just fast, explosive, like the Asian type fighters. Like if they have that style, it's so tough to deal with.
That karate bounce,
good. But they hit so hard.
They hit so hard.
They're hard to deal with.
Yeah, and he's so buried at ATT. Like when it comes to the respect factor, and Mike Brown knows it and he loves it. Mike Brown even said, like, I honestly think Kyoji Horiguchi is the most underrated fighter on the planet.
Dude, he's so good, man. And he's short and stocky and hard punching and moves fast and really good everywhere. He's good, dude. He's good.
You know who doesn't underrate him? Me. I put.
Well, I know you don't, Andre.
Yeah, in our MMA fighting world rankings, I have Kyoji at number 2 in the world behind Peter Yan. I think Kyoji's that good, and but I absolutely love the fight tonight with Pettis. I think Pettis is super good, but I just think the world of Kyoji. And as long as he's healthy,
I think stylistically, it's probably like a Kryptonite's type matchup for one with Pettis' style.
Yeah, but if you don't have any plans tonight, watch that main event.
Yes, I will be watching.
Oh, let me see. If this even matters.
Who is the better boxer, Aldo or Font? Font. The better overall boxer. I would go with Font overall. If we're talking 100%. Like, if we're talking offensively, it's Font all day. Defensively, you might have to lean Aldo defensively. He's so good at evading big shots. He does get hit. But he's so good at evading. Like, Thiago Moises is underrated at that as well. Like, Thiago Moises will get in there, and you think he's getting drilled over and over again, but he's actually not getting hit at all. Like, he's so good at that. Aldo's very good defensively. He's very good countering, too. Go ahead, Randy.
I think that that Aldo has very good boxing, but I think Aldo's boxing is very good because people are worried about the kicks. I think Font, you know his boxing's good, and he still beats you with boxing. So I do think that Font's boxing, real boxing, is probably the best in the bantamweight division, or maybe second, maybe behind Piotr Jan.
That's a good conversation to have. Jan's boxing is really good. Then that like, is just
and,
so fun
and
to watch.
So defensively sound. He's good, man. He's really fucking good.
Yeah. We'll take a couple more. what's Randy's walkout song? Jeez Louise, was this a Tinder profile? What is Randy's walkout song? Favorite TV series to watch? Are you a Star Wars or Marvel guy?
My walkout song in the past has been Round Here by Florida Georgia Line. My favorite TV series to watch would be King of Queens, for sure. And I'm really not neither a Star Wars. I'm more of a Star Wars than a Marvel guy, but I'm not really neither. I'm not really. I'm a Disney guy in Disney Star Wars. I'm Star Wars Disney.
All right. Well, you say King of Queens is your favorite show?
King of Queens.
I met Kevin Great James.
I did too.
I did. Oh, go. Yeah, he's like
he worked out here in Boca for a bit. We worked out together.
Dude, like he's like even though he's like big, he can move. Like, he's fast. Like,
you
probably experienced it. Yeah, he was all doing all this. I don't know. Kind of,
he's funny, man. He's funny.
All that stuff to me. Yeah, he was funny. Yeah. And since we're talking about Kevin James, Here Comes the Boom is the most underrated MMA movie.
It's a good one, and it's filmed in my hood.
Yeah.
Was Font in that one? Was Font in it? Because that was filmed at Sit Yatong, where he was training at the time.
Ooh, I wonder if he's in the background.
I don't know if I was in it though.
Yeah, he might have been. Like maybe he was, like, they put him in the background. Like he was just a guy back then. He wasn't Rob Font, so who knows?
He was just a dude. Yeah. Yeah.
All right,
that was a fun movie though, fun movie.
It was,
and I think actually at the time, people were kind of making like, why would this guy be in the UFC? But now looking back on it, if you watch the storyline, I could totally see the UFC having a teacher charity fight in the UFC. So whatever,
all day, all day,
definitely.
Ooh, here we go.
What is the low key fight of the night? Mine is Cheyenne Bays versus Mallory Martin.
Ooh, no longer Cheyenne Bays.
Cheyenne Velizmus.
Velizmus. Yep.
We'll wait for John Anik to announce it tomorrow. there's a lot to choose from. That's a good one. What do you think, Casey? What's the low key banger?
Ooh, oh my goodness.
Without a doubt, it's Maki Patolo and I don't know how to pronounce his name, so I'm sorry. Dusko
Todorovic.
That fight's going to be crazy, man. That fight's going to be crazy. It has to be crazy.
That's a good one.
I am a big fan of Cheyenne Vizmas and Mallory. I love Mallory Martin. I just hope this is an exciting, just grindy, just two women just gritting their teeth, just ready to just rip into each other. But the fight I'm really looking forward to is really just for one side. I'm just a giant Manel Cape fan, and Manel Cape is fighting, so that's all. When Manel Cape's on a card, he's my low-key fight of the night.
Tough. Tough fight, though. It's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll go with Brian Barberina versus Darian Weeks. I don't think it's going to get out. I don't think it's going to last more than like 6 or 7 minutes, but it's going to be insane. I think sure. Darian Weeks is going to come after that guy. All Darian Weeks does is finish dudes. He's only 5-0, and Barberina is a tough customer, obviously, and can take a beating. And I think he's going to have to take a beating early, but I think Barberina will come back and get a finish probably in the second round. But that fight's going to be nuts for as long as
he's only 5-0, but he's 15-4 as an amateur.
Yeah, he's extent like he's a very experienced 5-0. He's like Shorty Torres esque when it comes to 5-0s.
Okay. Interesting, and he's coming off. UFC signing a guy off 5-0. He come to the contender series. He just straight up, they just signed him on just based on.
I got signed 4-0.
Oh, well, you're a freaking Randy Costa, man.
And this guy's freaking Darian Weeks.
I think it's interesting. He's coming. He's a pro boxer too. Although he's coming off a close loss in a boxing match. But that's super awesome. And Brian Barberina is just freaking exciting. Brian Barberina and Vicente Luque is still my, even though he lost that fight, is still my favorite fights. Those like low key favorite fights ever. Yeah, just kind of caught me out of nowhere. Like I was just like, okay, cool. Brian Barberina's fighting, and he walked out the Baby Shark that night, and like it was just fun.
Jesus.
Remember, and don't forget, and I hate to sour the mood, but Brian Barberina was supposed to fight Matt Brown on this card.
Oh, okay. Oh, that, okay. That's why. Okay.
That's why Weeks.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
Weeks
is the short ass replacement.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense now.
You got anything else? One more? Uno más?
Let me find one more. Do. Come on, fans. Give us one more question.
I guess you're the biggest favorite on the card is. Brandon Allen.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
-365.
A lot of name value. Yeah. Did you know who? I forgot. Who's he fighting again? I'm sorry.
Chris Curtis.
No. Sorry. Who's Barberina fighting? Sorry.
Darian Weeks.
Did you know about him before? He's an LFA guy. Did you watch his fights? I've never heard of the gentleman.
Darian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Not a guy that I've like studied a lot, but he had that knockout he had in February was pretty nasty. I think he's fought a lot in like the KC area, like Kansas City area. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a glory guy, but he's like in that area, like Missouri, Kansas area, where you find a lot of those guys.
All right, last question. Not about the fights, but just another question for Mr. Costa.
Question for Randy Costa. Which strike would you rather absorb, a calf kick or an oblique kick? This is a good question.
Absorb, definitely a calf kick, right? Because oblique kick will have my knee wrong, like just wrong. I don't know. I don't know. Am I reading too far into this?
If you're absorbing 100% of it, calf kick, yeah, your leg goes numb and then like, oh, this sucks for a couple of days. Oblique kick, you gotta that sucks. On the
flip, if we can talk about like an attempted check or like, you know, not a flush one, then definitely an oblique kick over a calf kick, because even if you like somewhat check a calf kick, you're fucked. But even if you somewhat check an oblique kick, as long as you can stop the hyperextension, it's really not
doing
any damage at all.
There you go.
That would be my answer, yeah.
Well, I mean, Randy, you're getting ready to fight. Maybe you'll throw a calf kick. Maybe you'll throw an oblique kick. Your thoughts on this matchup with Tony Kelly? It's coming up in 8 days in Las Vegas in front of people, which is not always nice. First time, I believe, for you since the Boston card, if memory serves you correctly, that you fought in front of fans. So just talk about it and what you're looking forward to in the matchup itself.
I'm just excited, man. Tony's one of those guys that he goes and fights, man. He goes out there and it's not boring. I'm a fan of watching him fight. I'm a fan of his style and the kind of fight that he brings. He's going to be there the entire time. He's gonna be throwing shit actually with intent. I think it's a very fan-friendly style. I anticipate us both being extremely, extremely fucking sore after the fight, for sure. But it'll be fun for however long it lasts on a huge card. Looks like we're second fight of the night, so I think it's a pretty good spot. just excited for it, man. This is like the actual I had a bucket list like to fight in Vegas, right? And I fought twice in Vegas, but they were never really in Vegas. It was at the Apex with minimal fans. This is like a real Vegas fight, and I'm so excited for it. I got an exciting dance partner on a big exciting card. I can't wait, man. It's gonna be. I just can't fucking wait.
You're gonna fight in Las Vegas before Calvin Kattar fights in Las Vegas. How about that? Kattar's never fought in Vegas
until he fights Giga. That's kind of crazy, huh? Wow,
isn't that crazy? Shit.
Yeah,
you're gonna be there before. Wow. You're gonna be fighting in Vegas before he does.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm excited, man. I've never been inside of the T-Mobile Arena either, dude. It's just I'm excited for the whole thing. It's gonna be awesome.
Randy, as a fighter for you, what is it like coming back after a loss? Because I know after your first loss in UFC, you came back with an amazing victory. Do you go back to that place in your mind, or is it everything just different now?
No, dude. I mean, I got a completely different fight. I mean, only a fool trips over something that's behind him, and that's the same thing with this. I can't fall over something that's behind me, and that's the same thing with this. I learned my lessons. I took my leg. You know, I learned, man. I think even with a loss, I think there are a lot of great things with a lot of wins. It's a fist fight, man. Shit happens. I mean, I could go out there. I could get clocked. I could get knocked out in 10 seconds. Who knows? I mean, we're gonna find out next week, but. That's what makes this stuff so fun, dude. It's just, who knows?
Yeah, who the fuck knows? Like, we talk. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. That happened. All right.
We'll figure it out.
And the way that fight was built up, too, between you and Adrian, it was just nobody, like, everyone just wanted to see you fight. Like, it didn't matter who won or lost.
I think the fight delivered. I mean, mm-hmm. granted, if I could change anything, obviously it would be, one, that I won, two, that it lasted three rounds, or three that I didn't get finished, but I think there was still a lot of good things to be taken out of there. I feel like I showed maybe where my ceiling might be, maybe potential that might be there. Who knows? I mean, but we're gonna have a lot of questions that are gonna be answered next Saturday night. I'm excited to either prove people right or prove people wrong. But either way, I'm just ready, man. I'm just excited to be given the opportunity.
Fuck yeah!
What an answer! What an answer! Yeah. What an answer! All right. And obviously, Randy is a guy that the UFC could look at to throw in the booth one of these days as well, or throw at the desk. I think he's got a future here. He knows his shit. That's why he's here with us.
And that is actually a goal. So thank you so much. That's a huge compliment. Thank you so much.
There we go. See, there we go. We're here to maybe have people take steps up in their careers outside of the cage.
Help me help
you. That's what
you
try to do. Help me help you. Well, check out Randy Costa next Saturday as he takes on Tony Kelly in a fun one at UFC 269. Of course, two title fights cap off that card. We get Dustin Poirier, Charles Oliveira. We got Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena. But don't sleep on the prelims, my friends. And Randy Costa versus Tony Kelly should be a fun one.
Get there early. Get there early, fans. Don't miss this fight. Yeah. Don't be a casual. Don't be a casual. Show up.
You don't want to miss this one.
Tune in. And, of course, tune in to UFC Vegas 44 tomorrow. You're going to have a lot of fights to watch, all right? So for Casey, for Randy, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.